Welcome to session number 2 of the Emotional Eating Breakthrough Program. I'm Mark David, founder of the Institute for the Psychology of Eating. The title of today's session is, What is Emotional Eating? So you're here to have a breakthrough with emotional eating. You're here to find a whole new level of freedom with food, confidence with your body. You're here to transform your relationship with food so you can live your best life. This is such a great undertaking. I hope you're giving yourself credit for being willing to do some of the good work on yourself. No matter what your fears are, no matter what you think is in the way of you having success with emotional eating, as long as you remember deep inside that there's hope and that there's a way through and that help is here, you'll find the light at the end of the tunnel. Your job is to be a great observer of your own journey. Your job is to be a great listener to how your life is teaching you. Speaking of listening, I once had a first session with a young woman, I'll call her Betsy. At the time, she was 27. She was gripped by emotional eating and she wanted to lose 15 pounds. She was terrified that she would keep gaining weight and never stop. She was really desperate for help and I really wanted to do my best by her. Now, I noticed very quickly that Betsy had a very fascinating personality trait. She pretty much talked nonstop. I was barely able to ask a few basic questions in the first 30 minutes because she was a nonstop express train of words that just wouldn't seem to slow down. And at some point, I was able to interrupt her. And I said to her with just a big loving smile, I said, you know, there's something I'm noticing about you. I said, you really have a lot to say. You have so much to share. This is going to be such a great working relationship. Now, I said this to her as if it was the best compliment I could possibly pay anybody. And in a moment, she just started crying. And I just gently asked her what her tears were about. And she said to me that everyone in her life tells her that she talks too much. But at the same time, she feels that nobody truly listens to her. And that's since she was young, nobody was listening. Her parents didn't listen. Her siblings didn't listen. She just felt unseen and unheard. And in this moment, she essentially felt seen and heard, maybe for the first time ever. And she remarked that I wasn't judging her for all her talking. And what was fascinating was, as she was sharing this with me, she had just naturally slowed down. So as she was sharing all this, she'd naturally slowed down. She was more relaxed. She was present. She was in her body. And I'll say we had a very successful working relationship. She eventually learned to let go of emotional eating. Of course, not by conquering it, not by forcing it, not by stressing about it. One of her key lessons was to learn how to slow down, to learn how to listen to her own desires, to learn how to notice and listen to her own feelings, and embrace what she wanted most in life. One of the lessons I learned as a person and a professional with Betsy was this, that I got to remind myself, we live in a world that often is moving really fast. And for many of us, the result is that we don't always feel seen and heard and listened to by others. And we ourselves can be moving so fast that we don't always listen to our own inner voice. I have found that for so many people, emotional eating is asking us, calling us to slow down, to get to know ourselves better, and to listen to what emotional eating actually is. Like, what is it? And what does it have to say to us? So let's start at the very beginning of any good and successful transformative journey. Confucius once said that the beginning of wisdom, the road to success, is to name things and describe them properly. The beginning of wisdom, the road to success, is to name things and describe them properly. I mean, it sounds so simple, But there's actually a beautiful wisdom here. And that's where I want to begin today with emotional eating, is to describe it properly. Because we all use the term emotional eating. But what do you actually mean? What do you actually think it is? What does anybody else think it is? What is it? So I don't know that anybody's really defined it properly or accurately, at least to my liking. If it's really been broken down, have you and I really examined it for what it truly is? So let's do that. Let's get down to business and describe exactly what emotional eating is. First and foremost, what I'd like to say to you is that emotional eating is a behavior. It's a pretty important distinction. Emotional eating is a behavior. Any behavior that we do is an action. It's a verb. Something you do. A behavior is what we do. Now, compare this to when we say, I am an emotional eater. I'm an emotional eater. In this instance, we are essentially describing a thing, meaning an emotional eater is a noun. It's a thing. So why am I focusing on this? Because essentially, when you call yourself an emotional eater, I am an emotional eater, what's happening is you are completely and 100% identifying yourself with the behavior, and you unconsciously make it harder for yourself to deal with what your challenge really is. Emotional eating is a behavior. A rock is a thing. A tree is a thing. There is no such thing in nature as an emotional eater. You can walk through nature and find a flower. You'll never find an emotional eater. Again, emotional eating is a behavior that humans do. I emphasize this because how we use language is oftentimes how we create our reality. So from now on, I would just strongly suggest that you let go of the phrase, I am an emotional eater, and simply say, I have a challenge with emotional eating, or I emotionally eat. In other words, stop making the unwanted behavior your identity. It's not all of who you are. It's not what you are. It's not how you were born. It's something you do. It's not the essence of you. Big difference. Stop giving away your power like that. Stop mislabeling your experience. Can you feel how much more gentle this is on your mind and soul when you acknowledge that emotional eating is something that you do and it's not who you are? Because the implication is that there is nothing fundamentally wrong with who you are. You are not a sinful creature. You are not an inherently broken or defective human. Your challenge is that you have an unwanted behavior. You don't like that unwanted behavior. I don't like that unwanted behavior. When we have an unwanted behavior, you can dislike the behavior, but you can still love the person doing the behavior, you. Yeah, dislike the behavior all you like. Don't judge it too harshly. Dislike the behavior, but love the person for having the behavior. So again, you are not an emotional eater, noun. You emotionally eat, verb. Now let's examine the term emotional eating more closely. In fact, I want to define emotional eating in what I think is the best way possible so we can get right to the heart of what it is. Here's the simplest and most pure way I have found to define emotional eating. Check this out. Emotional eating is the act of using food to regulate our emotions. That may sound so simple and obvious, but I want to say it again. Emotional eating is the act, the behavior of using food to regulate our emotions. And here's a piece of information that's crucial to help you understand emotional eating and learn how to transform it. The act, check this out, the act of using food to regulate our emotions, emotional eating, is exactly what all human beings are genetically wired to do. The act of using food to regulate our emotions is exactly how you're created, how all human beings are genetically wired. We as humans naturally, instinctively, genetically, physiologically, and psychologically use food to regulate our emotions. You're born that way. We're all born that way. It's how we are intelligently designed. Hang in there with me and allow me to explain. Take a moment and think of any infant you have ever observed. They can be crying and screaming at the top of their lungs. And the moment that little infant gets the bottle or the breast, they relax in an instant. Food regulates our emotions. Each one of us is genetically wired from birth with the experience called feel bad, eat food, feel better. Now, to the infant's still developing nervous system, because they're still figuring things out, they're still learning, being fed, while being held, while being touched and loved and snuggled and sung to, it's all experiences one and the same. Food is love, food is touch, mother is love, mother is food, and so on. So it makes perfect sense, according to biology and psychology and genetics, as to why humans, whether tiny infants or adults, emotionally eat. Because you and I have the genetic memory, not only in this lifetime, but over eons and eons of time, over generations, as well as the memory of your own life, we have this memory called feel bad, eat food, feel better. Food is one of the most readily available stress relievers in the known universe. So many humans have instant access to pretty much any kind of food imaginable. As a remedy for anxiety, fear, boredom, upset, stress, food actually works, at least temporarily. It works temporarily. So what I'm suggesting to you is that emotional eating is a big part of being a human being who eats. It is normal and it is natural. There have likely been many thousands of times in your life when you've had the experience called feel bad, eat food, feel better. Again, I'm saying it's perfectly normal, it's human, and it's built into our biology. We cannot escape the fact that we are, first and foremost, emotional beings. Now, check this out. Think of all the ways that we positively eat with good emotions. Going out on a date and having a romantic meal. That's emotional eating. Celebrating a holiday dinner together. We're all gathering around. We love each other. We're family. We're together. We're sharing good times. That's emotional eating. Going to a birthday party. Having food. Having cake. That's emotional eating. We're celebrating. Going to the movies and munching on popcorn as you enjoy your entertainment experience. That's emotional eating. Think about it for a moment. What's the opposite of emotional eating? Would it be unemotional eating? Eating like a lifeless machine? That doesn't sound like much fun, nor is it remotely close to the experience of being human, because eating is, at its core, it's a very emotional and sensual affair. Yes, I know emotional eating can get out of hand and it can become problematic. That's why we're here. We're getting to that. But the first step to transforming emotional eating is to understand how and why it actually has a brilliant reason for its existence that's rooted in both biology and psychology. Mucho importante, my friends. Let me say that again. The first step to transforming emotional eating is to understand that it has a brilliant reason for its existence that's rooted in biology and psychology. I'll state it another way. Emotional eating is not a crime. It's a part of the human experience. It's part of you're created that way. It makes perfect sense. There's brilliant reasons as to why it exists. It is perfectly fine and natural until it becomes problematic for you. Is the tiny screaming infant committing a crime when it cries for the bottle or breast and then relaxes the moment that it gets what it wants and needs? Do you look at that baby and say, oh my God, you got a terrible problem. You're an emotional eater. You're hungry and you're screaming your little head off and you're crying like a baby. All right, you are a baby. If you have a pet, a dog, a cat, think about how they use food to regulate their emotions. When your pet is hungry, they feel stressed and anxious. When your pet eats, they feel satisfied and relaxed. In nature, any hungry creature is going to be on the hunt for food. Animals can get very aggressive when they need food. A satiated creature immediately comes a satisfied one with enough food. It's just so crucial that we understand and embrace just the brilliance of this behavior before you consider trying to change or transform the behavior. So, your job is not to attack emotional eating. Your job is not to attack yourself for the behavior called emotional eating. Because if you fight yourself, who wins? It's an illogical strategy that's never helped anybody. It's like one hand fighting the other. It would look silly. So your job is to first understand the inherent wisdom that drives such a behavior. Understanding the inherent wisdom that drives your emotional eating allows you to relax a bit more, doesn't it? To forgive yourself just a little more. And to see yourself more completely and accurately. If you want to get unstuck with emotional eating, then you need to invoke wisdom. We need to tap into the wisdom of life, the wisdom that lives within you. We need to tap into the brilliant reason behind any act of emotional eating. Anytime you emotionally eat, you have a good reason for it. Feel bad, eat food, feel better. We need to fully embrace the biologic and psychologic beauty of using food to regulate emotions. Look at it this way. What do human beings want? Human beings want to be happy. Why do you want to stop emotional eating? You want to be happy. So that's a built-in core value that we all seem to have. And as fate would have it, there are certain emotions, so we want to be happy. As fate would have it, there are certain emotions that tend to feel very good to us. You know, love feels good. Intimacy feels good for many people. Joy feels good. Bliss feels good. Nourishment feels good. Inner peace feels good. Just some good feelings going on. Likewise, there are emotions that don't quite feel so good. And anyone would want them to go away as soon as possible. What emotions don't feel so good? Yeah, nervousness. That's not fun. Anxiety. Fear. Anger. That's uncomfortable. Depression. Nobody wants that. Upset. Disappointment. That's a difficult emotion. Jealousy. Boredom. Grieving. Maybe one of the hardest emotions. Confusion, uncertainty. So again, it makes sense that if we can't get out of an unwanted emotion, I'm stuck, I'm depressed, I'm bored, I'm grieving, I'm anxious, I'm nervous, I'm angry as heck. If I can't get out of that unwanted emotion, why not do something that actually gets me out as quickly as possible? And food can make that so. So all I'm saying is, food is a brilliant strategy. Eating is a brilliant strategy. Eating helps regulate our emotions. You know, not only will we use food to regulate our negative emotions, many of us actually use food to regulate our positive emotions, meaning a lot of us have a certain ceiling in terms of how comfortable we can be with feeling good feelings. Sometimes feeling love or too much love can actually make us uncomfortable. Sometimes we might use emotional eating to suppress love or suppress feeling too happy or feeling too good or feeling too excited. And it sounds counterintuitive that we do this, but there's a part of us that sometimes actually needs to learn how to take in more love, how to be with more happiness without short-circuiting ourselves with emotional eating that can actually help stuff those feelings down. So in this case, the food literally brings us down to a more comfortable and lower happiness temperature. If you do this, or if you've ever done this, it's not that there's something wrong with you, by the way. It's that we are literally learning how, as human beings, to better and better embody our positive feelings. Sometimes we just have to learn that. Some people are good at it. Some people are just good at being really happy and really in love and really intimate and really excited. And others, we hit a certain ceiling and I got to use food to regulate it downward. So you are learning, if you do this, to best regulate your positive emotions. And what a great lesson to learn in life, as lessons go. You know, unfortunately, we're not generally taught in school how to regulate our mind and emotions, how to manage it. So if you find yourself dealing with emotional eating, then you can be assured that it's now time as an adult to learn how to manage your inner world, to harness your thoughts and feelings so they work for you and not against you. So that's what this is all about. You're learning how to harness your thoughts and feelings so they work for you and not against you. Here's another reframe about emotional eating that can make a big difference for you on your journey to transforming emotional eating. Most people think that emotional eating is my problem. Yeah, it's a problem. I have this problem. I emotionally eat. I don't want to emotionally eat. Can't stop myself from doing it. Problem. So we treat emotional eating as an unwanted intruder. And what do you do when an unwanted intruder? You attack it. And you hit it. And you try to bully it or beat it up. And you yell at it. You scream at it. Whatever we can do to eliminate the problem. Even though the problem's in us. So we kind of have to attack something in us in order to get rid of this unwanted intruder. So the problem is, when we see emotional eating as a problem, we have misidentified it. We have mislabeled it. The reality is, emotional eating isn't a problem. It's actually your solution. Remember, feel bad, eat food, feel better. Emotional eating, eating food, is a solution to having emotions that make us uncomfortable. You are using emotional eating as a solution. Ain't your problem. It's your solution. It's a solution for feelings that we'd rather not feel and rather not face. The wisdom of your body, the wisdom of your psyche, is always doing its best to keep you in harmony and balance. So our unwanted symptoms always have a good reason for their existence. It's very important. Your unwanted symptoms, your unwanted behaviors, I'm going to use those terms interchangeably, they're not here to torture you. They're not here because there's something wrong with you. They're here because they're talking to us. They're trying to somehow create harmony and balance. There's a good reason for their existence. Emotional eating is your body wisdom. It's your being, your soul, doing its best, the best thing it knows how in the moment, to downsize unwanted emotion and difficult to process experiences. I just introduced another nuance around emotional eating, so I want to repeat it again just because I think it's important. Emotional eating helps us with difficult to process experiences, life experiences. What does that even mean? Let's break it down. If you've been alive on planet Earth, which you have been, there's a pretty solid chance that you have had some difficult to process, difficult to digest, difficult to metabolize life experiences, right? Some example. You know, my parents divorced when I was young. There was fighting and arguing in my house. A parent was mean or unkind to me. I was bullied. I was made fun of. I was physically abused. I was sexually abused. A partner cheated on me. I was lied to. I was abandoned. I was betrayed. Someone close to me died. Many people close to me died. I felt unloved. I was put up for adoption. I lived in foster homes. I experienced racial prejudice, financial hardship. I was in an unhappy relationship. I had a terrible divorce. I had an eating disorder. I've dealt with the worst health issues. I think you get the idea here. This is planet Earth. Life has its difficulties. And it's not easy for us to make sense of so many of the hardships that we go through at any age, but especially when we're young. Okay? It is not easy for us to make sense of difficult life experiences at any age that we have, but especially when we are young. When we are young, the mind is not experienced. We're not wise. The soul is not wizened. For many of us, we begin to emotionally eat shortly after an experience or life event that is difficult to process, difficult to metabolize, difficult to understand and make peace with. So again, I just want you to know this makes perfect sense. The mind is instructing us to do what it knows how to do best, which is get out of a painful experience in the easiest and fastest way possible. Food helps you do that. It's actually a very clever strategy. It's a good strategy, especially for a youngster, especially for a teenager, because that's all we know to do. That's the best resource that we have available at the time, oftentimes to manage unwanted feelings in the moment, because each one of us knows and remembers and experiences at a young age, feel bad, eat food, feel better. So food becomes your own good coach, your own good psychologist, your own good parent, mother, soothing agent. So when we're young and unwise to the ways of the world, we just don't know how to handle certain situations. As a young human, you did the best you could. We do as young humans the best that we know how to do. And oddly enough, emotional eating is actually, it's a helpful strategy for a young person because it enables so many of us to cope with difficulties back then until we reach an age or a maturity level when we can begin to unwind and integrate our past difficult life experiences. So there comes a point when you and I are just more equipped to look back on the past and go, oh, okay, let me start to break that situation down. Let me understand it better. That was pretty tough for me. Now that I'm older, I could see it through different eyes. Remember from session number one, our last session, when you wrote your food and body autobiography, recall for a moment at what age you might have started emotional eating. And think for a moment, what was happening in your life at that time? What were your difficult to process life experiences that emotional eating was likely helping you manage and regulate? Can you see? I really mean this question. Can you see how your emotional eating began as an innocent, biologically and psychologically driven solution to problems that no child or young person would be equipped to solve? I also asked you in session number one to guesstimate how old you think you are whenever you emotionally eat these days. Meaning, how old do you become in that moment? Meaning, what persona or archetype steps in and starts to do all the decision-making around food? So recall your answer to that. Think about it again now. When you emotionally eat, what is the age of the part of you that it's doing? What's the age of the part of you that's doing the emotional eating? Again, there's no right or wrong here. You're just tuning in and guesstimating. Whatever the age that emotional eater within you is, 5, 10, 12, 15, 17, your job is to not beat that youngster up whenever they emotionally eat. Your job is to not attack that younger part of you. Your job is to now embrace your younger self. because that younger self back then, apparently nobody was able to fully embrace him or her. Nobody was able to give him or her the big hug to understand them, to see how that part of you was doing the best thing it knew how to do to manage a life that wasn't so easy. Can you have a little compassion for this younger part of you that turned to food back then and that is habituated, conditioned, unconsciously to turn to food now? You're just doing the strategy you always knew. You're sticking with what worked. I know it doesn't work for you anymore, but that's why you do it. Because at one point, it worked for you. You know, once again, if your best friend or your child was emotionally eating, would you yell at them, judge them, speak unkindly to them, or punish them for emotional eating? Would you hate on them and stop loving them until their problem was gone? Nope, you wouldn't. You would love them through it. You would love your loved ones through their difficulties. So you need to give yourself the same loving understanding that you would give to your own child, your own loved one, your own best friend. This is such an important part of healing and transforming emotional eating. It's calling off the dogs. Stop the self-attack around emotional eating. Put an end to self-judgment and to the harsh way that you may be speaking to yourself. You must monitor yourself here every day, every moment. Think of it this way. If you wouldn't say it to your best friend, if you wouldn't say it to your child, if you wouldn't say it to a loved one, don't say it to yourself. Period. That should be one of your first commandments. If you wouldn't say it to your best friend, you wouldn't say it to your child, you wouldn't say it to a loved one, don't say it to yourself. I mean, any harsh criticism or judgment about food, about your body, about your eating, about your emotional eating. So really, what we're doing, what you're doing is you're learning how to be responsible. You're learning how to be adult. You're learning how to be responsible with your own inner dialogue. You're learning that you are like every other human being. You respond best not to attack, but to kindness. Okay, we've been spending some time defining and redefining what emotional eating is. Let's just take a few moments and get as clear as we can about what emotional eating is not. Sometimes it's good to state things in the positive or in the negative. Emotional eating is not a sign that you are broken or something is defective or something is wrong with you. Very important. Emotional eating is not a sign you're broken. It's not a sign you're defective. It's not a sign there's something wrong with you. It's not an indication that you are less than or unwhole or unacceptable or tainted. That kind of thinking is unscientific. It's inaccurate. It's counter to everything we observe about the human condition, our biology, and our relationship with food. So you must change your thinking here. For so many people, when it comes to emotional eating, we think to ourselves, here's what we're thinking inside, whether we know it or not, I'm broken. Something is wrong with me and needs to be fixed. When we believe we're broken, we're going to indeed look to fix ourselves. And what happens is, when you think you're broken, and you want to fix something broken, okay, I'm broken, so I got to fix myself. What we end up doing, because you're not really broken anyway, what we end up doing is we look for quick fixes. So we often get attracted to ineffective fixes, to false promises, false diets, false supplements, exercise gizmos. I don't know. There's so many people ready to make a buck off of you. All because we're desperate to fix ourselves and want relief as quickly as possible. So I'm making a point here that is a little more subtle, but it's extremely important on your journey, I believe, to transform emotional eating. Because believing that we're broken creates an internal sourness. It creates an internal bitterness. Believing that you're broken has you feeling less than, has you constantly believing, well, if I'm broken, that means I'm not the real me. Huh? and I won't be the real me until I'm fixed. Hmm. And in fact, this isn't even my real life right now, because my real life doesn't begin until I fix my broken self. So our false belief that we are broken stops us from living our life, the life you have right now. It stops us from putting yourself out there now, from being confident now, from taking risks now, from deeply loving and being loved now, from giving your best gifts and living your best life now. So if you're emotional eating, if you have that behavior, it does not mean you are broken. It means you are a human being who is learning how to regulate your emotions in ways other than eating. Let's try that again. If you emotionally eat, doesn't mean you're broken. It means you're a human being who is learning. All human beings, we're here to learn and grow. You're learning how to regulate your emotions in ways other than turning to food. You're not defective. You're learning and growing. A toddler isn't broken because it doesn't know how to walk yet and can only crawl. You wouldn't look at a baby and say, oh my God, you're broken because you're crawling and you're not walking. Of course not. Child isn't broken because it hasn't learned how to read yet. We're all on a journey of learning and growing and developing and evolving. So please just stop assaulting yourself by trying to be perfect. Stop believing that there's something wrong or broken about you if you emotionally eat or if you do anything. And time to embrace being an imperfect human being who's here to learn and grow. Ultimately, we're learning how to let go of the unwanted behavior of emotional eating by learning how to regulate our emotions in ways other than turning to food. So that's one way of stating the cure. We're going to go into that more and more as the program progresses. We're learning how to let go of the unwanted behavior of emotional eating by learning how to regulate our emotions in ways other than turning to food. Because we're using food to regulate our emotions. I emotionally eat too much. I don't like that. It's not what I want to do. It doesn't make me feel good. It makes me gain weight. It makes my digestion feel this. It makes me feel guilty and shameful. Okay, I don't want to do that. Great. Instead of fighting emotional eating, you're going to be learning how to put something in its place that perhaps is more helpful and effective. That's what the road is going to look like, in part. So for now, please keep reminding yourself that we're here and alive in this life, in part, to learn how to manage and regulate our emotions and our experiences. This is what we do as human beings. We do other things for sure, but think about it. This is one of our main activities in life. Every day is an adventure in your emotional journey. You wake up. Kids, news on TV, state of the world, politics, war, injustice, violence, economic challenges, health challenges, family challenges. Got to feed everybody. Got to feed yourself. People die. We get hurt. People say mean or unconscious things. You might not like your life or your body or your job. You don't want to be single. You don't want to be married. There's so much going on. That's not always so easy. So it takes a lot. I'm just saying it takes a lot to be a human being who has a big range of emotional experiences potentially every day. So if you emotionally eat, be sure to keep giving yourself just a little love along your journey. It's understandable. It's perfectly acceptable as to why you would turn to food. Life is not so easy. Good news is this program is here to help you in very practical ways to get where you want to go and find a greater freedom and joy with food and body. Speaking of practical strategies, this is a great time to introduce the most practical overall strategy that you'll be using throughout this program and beyond. This overall strategy, I want to call practice. Practice. Practice is your gold. It has all the value when it comes to your success with emotional eating and just about anything in life. You learn this at a young age. sometimes we need to keep relearning this lesson. Simply put, practice is the willful act of bettering yourself through regular and consistent efforts. That's it. Again, practice is the willful act, it's the choice to better yourself through regular and consistent efforts. Practice is a commitment, is your commitment to self-growth. It's direct evidence that you wish to improve in a certain area. If you sit around and complain all day, nothing changes, nothing changes, nothing changes, that means you're not doing any practices to help yourself improve and change in that area. Practice is what you do to become proficient. And it has its ups and downs. We make mistakes. We have setbacks. We often take a few steps forward, maybe a step back. You know, it's interesting for professionals, for doctors, you know, they call it a practice. A doctor has a practice. Nobody ever called it a perfect. So if you want to learn to play a musical instrument, you practice. If you want to learn a foreign language, you practice as you learn. If you want to get better at tennis or golf, you practice. If you want to learn yoga and receive its benefits, you do the practice of yoga on a regular basis. If you're recovering from a knee injury and you need to heal and strengthen, you do the practices or exercises you're given. You learned how to walk. Your baby learned how to walk by practicing walking. To transform emotional eating and find freedom with food, you do practices that help you get there. Throughout this program, I'm going to be suggesting practices to you that are specifically designed to take you where you want to go when it comes to emotional eating. That's how you're going to ultimately receive value from this program, from doing the practices that will help you accomplish your goals and your desires. Stated in another way, personal growth is not a spectator sport. Personal growth and transformation, it just requires our efforts. It requires our consistency, our work. So what I've noticed is that because so many people are looking for the quick fix solutions, because I'm broken and I'm freaked out that I'm broken and I want to get rid of my emotional eating yesterday, so I'm so in a rush to fix it, and I'm looking for quick fix solutions to my concern, that it's easy for us to dabble, to try something and give up, and to just give up really quick. Well, I tried that, it didn't work. We've been conditioned to believe that doing little to no work on self can somehow lead to a great reward. So my friends, practice is your gold. It'll get you where you want to go. With great effort comes great reward. You will get a lot of value from this program just by the insights and information you learn. So if you've never done any practices, you're going to get a ton. And you get the greatest value by far and away by doing the practices and exercises, the journaling that I'll be offering in each session. So you owe it to yourself to live your best life. That's how I look at it. You owe it to yourself to do some of the most important work in the world, which is work on self. You're here to have a breakthrough. Support yourself in doing that. And it's so weird how life is designed sometimes, because work on self can be very, very hard. That's why so many people avoid truly looking in the mirror. That's why we would avoid putting in the effort to transform an unwanted behavior such as emotional eating, because it's not always easy work. Think of it like pulling out a splinter. Did you ever get a splinter? Have you noticed that just having a splinter, the splinter's in your hand, it hurts. Having a splinter hurts. And yet in the act of pulling out that splinter, in the moment you're pulling it out, it hurts even more. But of course, the relief follows soon after. So I want you to think of emotional eating in a similar way. Sometimes, not all the time, the work you're doing on self feels extra uncomfortable. There's points in your journey where you're going to literally be pulling out the splinter, and it hurts more than just leaving the splinter alone, even though the splinter by itself hurts and you want to get it out. But victory soon follows. So ultimately, your job is to keep trusting your own journey. Trust your journey. So with that said, let's do an exercise and a practice that'll make a big difference for you in transforming emotional eating. In fact, it's key, and it gets right to the heart of emotional eating. First, I'd like you to do an inventory in your journal, on your computer, and I'd like you to call it the What Else Inventory. The What Else Inventory. I'll explain what this inventory is. Since emotional eating is the use of food to regulate our emotions, I'd like you to ask yourself, what else can I do other than eating food to regulate my emotional experience? What else in life helps me relax? What else in life helps me feel some goodness? What else in life helps me get centered and feel pleasured and feel happy or feel alive? So rather than fight emotional eating, rather than fight food and fight appetite, because none of that works and you've tried it and it doesn't work, you're exploring the world of options that you have to begin to find other ways to regulate your emotional metabolism other than turning to food. So you can beat yourself up all day for using food to regulate your emotions, and you could attack your emotional eating, but you're attacking the problem where it is not. It's not where your problem is. Emotional eating is your solution. Let's find other solutions. So some examples of what else a human can do other than food to regulate our emotions include, not limited to, I'm just giving you some examples just to get the juices flowing. You could listen to loud, fun music with your headphones on. Or not, or no headphones on. You could do any kind of movement, any kind of dance, stretching, deep breathing. You can get out in nature, watch a happy video, or a funny video, or a goofy video. You could read something inspirational. You can listen to an uplifting podcast. You can talk with someone you love and trust. You can create a support network of people you can call when in the moments that you want to avoid emotional eating. You can do any kind of art or craft or a hobby that you enjoy. You can hang out with your pet. You can go for a walk. You can take a bath or a shower. You can put your feet in some cold water. You could focus on something interesting to you that you can learn about online. Go to a favorite power spot. Do some yoga. Make some sounds. Sing. Yell. You getting the idea here? You are making a complete list, a complete what else inventory of everything that makes you feel good, that helps you regulate your emotions, that helps you create some peace, harmony, freedom in the moment. I would love for you to keep adding to this list every day, every week, during this program, after the program. Just be willing to add to the list. And I'd like for you to think of this list kind of like your Bible. It contains the secret to your success. It contains everything else you can do in the moment that you would normally emotionally eat, everything else you could do other than eat. So I think you know what your task is to do your best and practice that word using this list. Practice using this list. Look at it for ideas. Look at it for inspiration. Whenever you are feeling the need to emotionally eat, see if you can create a pause, catch yourself, refer to your list, look it up and down, and see if you can try an alternative in that moment. Of course, I don't expect you to do this all the time. I don't expect you to do it 100% perfectly. Even if you can be successful with this just once a week, that's cause for celebration. That's a big step forward. You might even wish to create like a smaller list of the top 10 things that are easiest for you to do other than food, in terms of what else can make me feel good other than food in this moment. So your quick reference top 10 things. Use the list as best you can. Make the effort. Experiment. Try out everything on the list. Make it a practice. Don't expect perfection. Aim for small successes that you can build on. That's how we progress. We progress in small steps. Yeah, once in a while we take a big leap, but most of what you do in life is small steps, and eventually there's some bigger ones happen here and there. Also, of course, along the way, you might consider forgiving yourself if you end up emotionally eating when you try to do something else instead. I tried to do what that guy told me, but I was emotionally eating. Great. Opportunity. Opportunity for forgiveness. Opportunity to not beat yourself up. So essentially, you're replacing an unwanted habit that doesn't work for you, turning to food for emotional regulation. You're replacing that with a habit that does work for you, turning to music, doing some deep breathing. And again, you're initially looking to have just one success, one time. When you're about to emotionally eat and you remind yourself, hey, paid all that money for that great program. And that guy said, look at your what else inventory and see what you can do. Use that list to successfully intervene with a better way to regulate your emotional experience. It's a practice for you to do every week in this program, especially while you're in this program so you could generate momentum, but for the rest of your life. By the way, by doing this practice of asking yourself what else when you're about to emotionally eat, you're doing the number one key strategy to changing any unwanted habit. You're introducing consciousness. That's at the key of this practice. You're introducing consciousness. What do I mean here? Let's break it down. Every and any unwanted habit that we can think of has these particular three characteristics. Might have other, but these particular three characteristics of any unwanted habit. It's automatic. It just seems to happen. It's repetitive. You do it a lot. And it's unconscious. It sort of does itself. So you don't have to wake up in the morning and remind yourself, I really need to make sure to do my chain smoking habit today. Or I need to really make sure that I emotionally eat or overeat today. I need to practice that habit. No, that habit is automatic. It repeats itself and it's unconscious. It's driven from another place. It's beneath your awareness. Your habits, your unwanted habits, your unwanted negative habits, they do themselves. So I want you to note that term unconscious. I want you to note it because the only way, consider this, to change a habit that is unconscious, meaning it just does itself automatically, is to introduce consciousness. You want to change a habit that's unconscious? You must introduce consciousness. So by catching yourself when you are about to emotionally eat and asking yourself, what else can I do? What you're actually doing is you're introducing consciousness into a moment where you typically behave unconsciously. Let's state this another way. Emotional eating, the challenge called the unwanted behavior called emotional eating, is largely an unconscious behavior. Again, you're not choosing to do it, as far as you can tell. It's doing itself. Remember that other voice, that other archetype is stepping in there, taking over. So emotional eating is an unconscious behavior. It's automatic. It's repetitive. Introducing consciousness means you are bringing in the light. It means you're staying awake in the moment. Introducing consciousness means you're being present. You're landing in your body, in this moment, in present time, and you, the adult you, the wise you, the royal you, the kingly you, the queenly you, isn't checking out of your body. You're staying checked in. That's the secret, my friends, to transforming an unwanted, unconscious behavior. That's it. Introduce consciousness. What else can I do in this moment other than turn to food to help regulate my emotions? That's consciousness speaking. That's your guiding star, your guiding light, your guiding question. You're training yourself how to stay awake in a moment where you normally go to sleep. In order for you to emotionally eat, a part of you has to check out. A part of you has to go to sleep, and an automatic, repetitive, unconscious part of you takes over. So when you introduce consciousness, you are interfering with that process. You're saying, no, no, no. We're doing something else. You're creating the momentum for a new habit. So this is the place where you are doing work. This is work. You're doing work on self. Work on self is not always so easy. Work on self is not something you try once or twice and say, oh, that didn't work. What else can I do? Work on self means you're making the choice to better yourself as a human being. Working on self means you're not allowing yourself to fall into victimhood. You're not staying stuck in self-attack or self-pity. You are allowing yourself, you're gifting yourself the opportunity to take the slower road to success. No more quick fixes. If quick fixes would have worked, they would have worked for you. It took time, and perhaps a long time, for you to get where you are today. Emotional eating may be something that you have faced for many years. So, if something has been challenging you for years or decades or a lifetime, you owe it to yourself to be patient and to be compassionate and to give yourself the gift of time in order to unwind this. I mean, you know that makes sense. I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. You are learning how to regulate your own emotional experiences in ways that help you and that don't harm you. You are turning to food because that's what's ingrained in your biology, in your genetics, in the biology and the genetics of every human being and every mammal. Feel bad, eat food, feel better. It is a brilliant childhood strategy that you used, chances are, at a young age or at a time in your life where that's what you knew how to do, to deal with difficult to process emotion or difficult to process experiences. So you were doing the right thing. You did the best you could. And now you're an adult. Now you're smart. And now you're at a time in your life where you can unwind this because you go, oh, that's a habit that got ingrained in me. Feel bad, eat foods, feel better. That's why I do it. And that voice within me, that archetype within me, that young child, that young teenager, that rebel, that part of me that's a rule breaker, or that part of me that just wants some sweetness and wants to get out of pain. Yeah, that's why I'm emotionally eating. Because it's an old habit. So you're breaking that habit. So this takes practice, it takes work, it takes time. If you give up or complain because you're not getting instant success, that's the child in you who wants instant gratification and isn't getting it. What happens when kids or toddlers don't get exactly what they want and exactly when they want it? They whine. They complain. They pout. So you're learning to call forth the adult in you, the king, the queen in you. You are consciously evolving and growing yourself in your maturity and in your character. Freedom from emotional eating is something you work for, something you earn through your efforts. You know, emotional eating is far more than a challenge with food. It's a challenge with learning how to best live your life here on planet Earth. A well-lived life is one where our emotions don't rule over us and control us and have us do things that work against our own wishes. Yeah, sometimes your emotions get the better of you. We're human. That happens. But a life well lived is where that's not the predominant experience that you're having. That you're driven by your unwanted emotions. You're driven by your uncomfortable emotions. You're driven by your negative emotions to make choices that don't work for you, that you say don't work for you. So learning to regulate our emotions means being able to feel them, acknowledge them, be curious about them, learn from them, and let them move on without those emotions driving us again to do behaviors that don't support us. By the way, success with emotional eating does not mean that you never, ever, ever do unwanted emotional eating ever again. Please throw out that definition of success. Success with emotional eating means you decrease the amount and frequency more and more. Success with emotional eating means that emotional eating slowly becomes more and more downsized for you. It doesn't impede you or impact your life in a negative way. You might do it occasionally. You might go through long periods of time when you don't emotionally eat at all, and then you may go through times when you've been so successful not emotionally eating, but all of a sudden you seem to be back where you started. But you'll move through that. You'll return to a good place. Life has its cycles. Success ultimately means that emotional eating is no longer holding you back from living your best life. If you do emotionally eat, you let it go as quickly as you can. You don't self-reject for weeks or months, or for some people, years. Ultimately, ideally, if you emotionally eat and you're going to self-reject for minutes. I don't know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Set your alarm. I will self-reject for 5 minutes. As soon as that alarm rings, you're done. Let me actually expand on this a bit more because I think this is an important distinction. You know, oftentimes what happens for most people is they have some period of time when they feel like they're being successful with food and successful with what they eat. You're sticking to your diet. You're doing things right. You feel good about yourself. And then something happens. Something triggers you and you emotionally eat. From there, it's easy to say to yourself, okay, I've fallen off the wagon. I've failed. I've gone off my diet. I've been a bad girl. I've been a bad boy. And because of that, I will now become a mess for the next bunch of days or weeks or months. I need to punish myself by completely throwing away all my good habits and all my good intentions. And I'm going to eat whatever I want. I'll trash my body. I'll hate myself. Punish, attack. I think you get the picture. That's the all or nothing type of approach or attitude or consciousness. And the all or nothing approach is it's a viral conditioning. It's a viral belief. We believe we must be all or nothing. It's a toxic way of thinking. The all or nothing approach is an ineffective strategy that you might personally have that strategy, but you didn't invent it. You inherited that strategy from the world. You caught it like a virus. So how you fix that is you learn to time shift. What time shifting means here is that when you emotionally eat, instead of punishing yourself again for long periods of time, for months or weeks, and going off your healthy diet and your good habits, you instead just punish yourself for a short amount of time. You're time shifting. And then at some point, you keep narrowing that amount of self-attack and punishing time. You just break it down more and more. You lessen it more and more. The ultimate goal, again, is you're only self-rejecting for a few minutes. Sure, the ultimate goal is you don't self-reject at all. That'd be great. So it's okay to give yourself a few minutes to be upset with yourself if that's the old habit. But then you forgive yourself. And you don't indulge in your all-or-nothing strategy because the all-or-nothing strategy doesn't work. So you're shortening the amount of time that you would normally sentence yourself to prison. Life is too precious and valuable. Life is too short. The idea is to stop wasting your time on strategies that don't work. Spend your time on strategies that don't work, that do work. Don't waste your time on strategies that don't work. Chances are whatever strategies you've been using to get out of emotional eating hasn't worked for you. That's why this program is going to give you strategies that work. And chances are these are strategies you're going to be learning that you haven't tried before, distinctions that you haven't heard before, practices that you might not have heard before because the world is a little short on wisdom. But here we are. That's the good news. So I want you to notice how long you might usually abandon your own good intentions when you emotionally eat. Just notice that. How long do you usually stay in self-punishment if you go against your own good wishes? Is it days? Is it weeks? Is it months? Is it hours? I don't know. Just know yourself in that way. Be curious about yourself in that way. Commit that you're going to put a timer on things. If not an actual timer, then you put your soul timer on it. And you make sure that you don't self-indulge and stay in a bad neighborhood in your head that you just don't belong in. You don't deserve to be there. You know, so many times when it comes to eating, we act as the criminal who's done something wrong. So you're the criminal. You emotionally ate makes you a criminal. However, we play the part of the judge. We sentence ourselves to days, weeks of upset, self-harm, self-attack. And in that sense, you become the jailer. You have to make sure that you are enacting the punishment every day and keeping yourself in prison. And then you have to stay in prison until somehow you escape. It's just exhausting. So you now have an awareness tool and a technique to help liberate yourself. Please, please, please use it. I should mention here that as humans, not only do we need to regulate our own emotions, But we're often in relationships, because we're human, where we are regulating the emotions of others. Hard enough to regulate my own emotions, but we're often in situations where we find ourselves regulating the emotions of others. That's what you do as a parent. You are helping your child until they're out of your house. Hopefully, you're teaching them how to regulate their emotions, in large part. You do that with your friends. You help your friends regulate their emotions and all the things that they're going through in life. If you might be doing that with your coworkers, your boss, if you're in a close, intimate relationship, you're helping them regulate their emotional experiences. You're talking about problems that they're having. So we hold one another's hearts. We are often the peacemaker. We're often the one in a relationship who's the responsible one, who's helping the other person with their emotional experience. And that's not always so easy. Again, it's hard enough to manage our own emotional experience, let alone others. But that's what we're often being called to do, and it's beautiful, except when you take on too much. If we overdo it as emotional caretakers, if we try to manage other people's emotions by taking away their responsibility, it starts to burden us. And what do you do when you feel burdened? You kind of feel stressed. You feel upset. And what do you do when you're burdened and stressed and upset? You want to get rid of that uncomfortable emotion. And what's an easy way to get rid of the uncomfortable emotion of burden or stress or upset? You reach for food. So we're reaching food to help regulate our anxiety around dealing with everybody else's emotional experience or anxiety. Can you relate to any of what I'm talking about here? So a great question to ask yourself is this. Where am I trying to manage other people's emotional experience in a way that does not work for me or them? Yes, be a support to people, but don't be a crutch. In fact, that's a powerful journaling exercise for this week. How do you attempt to manage other people's emotional experiences in ways that don't work for you or them? How do you rely on other people? How do you rely on how other people are feeling in order to feel good about yourself? How does trying to manage other people's emotional experiences make you feel? How does it make them feel? What would be a better way for you to be in relationship with these people in your life? Okay, let's finish up this session with one more important practice. This is an easy practice. It's about celebrating your small successes. I have to tell you that one of the key obstacles, one of the common obstacles, and it's a hidden obstacle, that gets in the way of people actually having success with emotional eating and having sustained breakthrough with emotional eating or with anything in life, is that we're often looking for the big winning lottery ticket, the big bang, the big breakthrough, the blockbuster success. We're looking for the huge win. And in doing so, we fail to do what we were likely taught to do as children, which is celebrate the small successes. The opposite of celebration is diminishment. The opposite of celebration is minimizing or even missing our positive steps forward. Many of us have forgotten how to measure our beautiful progress as a human being. That's something I've noticed. Celebration of the small things moves us towards the accomplishment of big things. Small successes lead to larger ones, but you have to notice the small successes. You have to acknowledge them. And when you acknowledge them, you have to start to feel them, because success is ultimately a feeling. I know plenty of people who are very successful financially. They don't feel it. They have probably 1,000 times more money than you might wish you would have had you, if you were super successful, but they don't have, for whatever reason, they don't have that feeling. Some people attain their perfect weight and perfect body and perfect looks, and they don't feel that way. So success is a feeling, and all feelings are meant to be felt. So celebrate the little successes you have each week in this program. Practice that. Practice celebrating the small successes in this program in your life. Stated in a different way, stop being a perfectionist, stop being pessimistic, Stop suppressing your own natural progress by ignoring it. Taking this program by itself is a success. Doing the exercises each week, that's a success. Emotionally eating one time less per week is a success. Even if you emotionally eat at the same rate, but you forgive yourself faster once, that's a success. Use a journaling approach. Journal at the end of the day every tiny or small success that you can come up with that you experienced as a result of your work on self in this program. Again, I'm going to remind you, every journaling exercise and practice and homework assignment that I give you, it's going to be in the written handouts that you're getting. So journal at the end of the day every tiny success, small success that you can come up with that you experienced as a result of your work on self in this program. So again, not only do I suggest you write them down, you might even want to read it out loud. Feel the success. Feel good about it. Feel good about you. One of the lessons that emotional eating is teaching us is how to feel good in life. Think about that. Generally, we emotionally eat when we have feelings that don't feel good. Hurt, pain, disappointment, boredom, anxiety, fear, anger, confusion, grief, disappointment, etc. So we're emotionally eating because we don't feel good. Well, the more we can experience good feelings in life, the less you need to emotionally eat. It's just simple math. The more you experience good feelings in life, the less we need to emotionally eat. A lot of people think, I'm going to feel better when I stop emotionally eating. But in the meantime, every time I emotionally eat, I'm going to feel like garbage and I'm going to attack myself and I'm going to feel even worse. Start doing things that help you feel better other than make emotional eating magically disappear all by itself. So emotional eating is calling you, asking you to begin to feel better in your life. It's asking you to feel better about your life, to be grateful for the good things you have, to focus not just on the bad, but on the good as well. Celebrate your small suggestions. It's your time to shine. My friends, I appreciate you for putting your time, energy, and effort into your own betterment, into your own personal transformation. Please continue to stay with yourself, to be your own best friend. Be kind to yourself on this journey. This is the conclusion of session number 2 of the Emotional Eating Breakthrough. As always, so many good things to consider here. I'll see you in the next session.